Hello and welcome to the Medicine Matters Oncology podcast. I'm Shreya Nanda. The impact of COVID-19 on health and healthcare services has been devastating. And although there is hope in sight with the availability of multiple vaccines, these also raise questions, especially for special populations such as people with cancer. We spoke to Narjus Duma, a medical oncologist from the University of Wisconsin in the USA, about some of the key issues.
So what is your view of COVID-19 vaccination in people with cancer? Should they receive it? And if so, when?
I think the main challenge about, you know, is that patients with cancer were not included in the clinical trial. So the data that we're going for is mostly anecdotal data or data that you evaluate risk versus benefit. I have patients with cancer, have the disease, and I have lost patients through COVID-19 that overall were cured along cancer, or they were doing very well. So when you evaluate the risk and the benefits, particularly knowing that patients with cancer, the data from CC19 and for Tirabol shows that these patients have a high mortality. So yes, there's no data about the safety, but the risk of the patients getting the virus is higher and significantly compared to getting the vaccine. And something that I always take into account is that all patients with metastatic disease have very limited time. So when I was talking to my patients, I told them, well, there's no patients with cancer in the trials. I don't know, but I recommend it. And many of them would say, oh, give it to me walking. I will take it. Because every day they stay at home away from their family is a day they're losing, knowing that they, you know, they're facing early mortality. So for people in immunotherapy, we tend to time it in between the doses of the medication. Isn't it data backing that up? No, but we do it with the influenza vaccine. Also, the influenza vaccine data that was done by Dr. Schenk at the University of Colorado shows that there is actually no association between the antibodies and the immunotherapy. So in theory, they can get it anytime. But of course, we're using data from the influenza vaccine to the COVID-19 vaccine.
So are there any special considerations for patients who are on active treatment or those who are receiving like long-term endocrine therapies or other treatments?
So I think I'm going to go for the endocrine first. So the large databases that CC19 and all these large databases show that patients that were in endocrine therapy did not have an increased mortality compared to the patients in chemotherapy or immunotherapy. So I think for those patients in endocrine therapy, they should get the vaccine when available and safe for them. There are many other aspects, right? We're only talking about the therapy. There's many other reasons people may have a contraindication, an allergy to the components of the vaccine that should be explored and discussed. I think that with the endocrine therapy, about the immunotherapy, as I say, we usually time it in between or at least 2 weeks after the dose. And you also want with chemotherapy when the patient's bone marrow is up. For example, you tend to get chemotherapy at day 7 to 10, they kind of experience the lower white cells. So when you start seeing the cells up, you in theory can give them the vaccine then.
So then are there any side effects or allergic reactions that could be a particular issue for people with cancer?
I think one of the things that we have seen mostly with the second dose of the vaccine are the flu-like symptoms, right? So for a patient, I think it's about timing too. So if somebody is very neutropenic and they get a vaccine and they get a fever, that's a neutropenic fever, an emergency. So they are at risk, you know, to having to visit the ER more often because there's such a high risk that this fever can be something else. It doesn't have to be only the vaccine. It can be any other reason. So there's a probability that the patient has a reaction to the vaccine, but all the other causes of infection need to be ruled out. So if the patient with cancer gets the vaccine and has a fever, we should, you know, rule out all infections and not only blame it on the vaccine. We have to watch the patients after the administration. In many countries, like we have, the FDA has an app in which they can monitor the symptoms. So I would recommend that the patients have a close monitoring. And also that they're very careful about over-medicating with ibuprofen and acetaminophen, because you don't want to decrease the immune response that your body is having to the virus.
Are there any potential drug vaccine interactions for people who are on anti-cancer treatment that you are concerned about?
Not that I know of, but you know, when every time we talk about something in medicine, we evaluate risk over benefit. For there are vaccine-like therapies for some cancers that it would be very important that the whole discussion takes place. So there is vaccine-like therapy for prostate cancer. There is, you know, CAR T cell therapy for hematology malignancies. That is a different ballpark, you know, and the game potential, the potential access, you know, of how to do this, it should be important. And like bone marrow transplants recipients, like you have host versus graft disease, so you have no idea. If patients or people with cancer were not included in the clinical trial, for sure bone marrow transplant recipients were not. So I think for patients that are in vaccine-like treatments, they should, you know, everything taken into account and have very close monitoring. We don't have protocols if the patient should be admitted or not, but at least, you know, keep them close.
And then is there any indication that one version of the vaccine, you know, the Pfizer or the Moderna, may be more or less suitable for cancer patients than other versions?
I have several patients have both of them, and overall has been the same. So I think I tell my patients, whichever vaccine reaches you first, that's the vaccine you should get, because there is no data for me to tell you that one is better than another. The only difference is scheduling. And some patients prefer the Pfizer vaccine because they get the second dose and sooner, a week sooner. But whatever reached them first, and, you know, I think in the UK, thing has been a little bit more patient organized. But here, vaccination is still a big challenge. Like every state is doing something different. Because of the discrepancies across the states in the United States, I ask my patients to get whichever reached them first. Because we don't know. And for them, like I'm going to put things in perspective. For a small cell, stencil stage lung cancer, the median overall survival was around 12 months, 12.3, 12.6. That's how much these patients live. If you have patients with small cell was diagnosed last March, they spend their entire time left in quarantine or in lockdown. So when you put things in perspective like that, and they have the opportunity to get the vaccine, I told them, get them. Make sure you're okay. We watch you. Continue to wear your mask. The anxiety and the worry that these patients have with COVID-19 overtakes everything. Sometimes they're more worried about that than the cancer they have. So it is not only the aspect physiologic that the vaccine is keeping, it's also the mental aspect to our patients. I'm a lung cancer doctor, so my perspective may be different because my patients don't live long. But it's just seeing the grandkids. Or like one of my patients just wants to see two of her daughters before she dies. And, you know, whatever you can get the vaccine, she will get it.
Yeah. And I think we're lucky that we do have the choice, you know, having 2, 3, 4 to choose from is no bad thing. And then what sort of questions do you get from your patients about the COVID-19 vaccinations?
The number one question is when they can get it and how. Like, that's the number one question. Like, we have so many inquiries. I have patients like, I would do everything that takes. I have a patient that went and they were vaccinating here in the healthcare department and seated there for 4 hours to see if there was any leftover doses. Because they say if they're leftovers, you know, we go for the standby. And he stayed there until he got his vaccine. So that's the number one thing. The number two question is it safe? And then we talk about the data and I told them, sorry, many patients with cancer were not included, so we don't know, right? And the number third is like when they can start seeing family after they get the vaccine. So they're very small requests, but they're so important for them. They're patients that we hold their therapy and they're willing to hold their therapy if it assures that we get the vaccine sooner.
And then my last question, which is, you know, you've obviously referred to there not being enough data for various things. So what are the key research questions that need to be addressed?
I think the important is, are the patients develop antibodies, right? How long does antibodies in patients that are with cancer? Because their immune system or a patient with cancer is very different than a patient without it. And we know that. That's why PD-1 and PD-L1 work, because their immune system is different. So how do they develop the antibodies? How long does the immunity last? And most importantly, how is the effect of the immunity with these therapies, with immunotherapy? And I think those are questions that haven't been answered. And I hope that we're following these patients prospectively to learn, because the retrospective data has a lot of limitations. But I don't know if we are. I know some places have registries, but I don't know. You know, we're in this need, frantic situation that we just want to move forward. Everybody's so tired that I don't know how well we're doing that, but I don't blame anybody. And also afraid of the differences is that, not afraid is that the people that would be follow, it would be the people that usually don't represent the population, right? So because there are also racial differences in immune systems. And I think that should be taken into account. And there's gender differences. I think gender difference would be important because women develop a different immune response to the influenza vaccine than men. And we clear the antibodies faster compared to men. So is going to be the immunity lasting enough for women versus men? We don't know yet. And then you add cancer on top of that? So yeah.
Do you think it's feasible to run trials of these vaccines in cancer patients?
It should not delay. So that the concern is if you run a trial, you are delaying the administration. So yes, it can be done, but it should not delay the administration of patients outside of the trial. Because then you're going to wait more months for these people that don't have time. So yes, trials should be done to include patients prior to starting therapy, during therapy, cancer therapy, but it should not delay the administration to these patients.
A big thank you to Dr. Duma for taking the time to speak with us. And thank you for listening to this podcast produced by MedWire News for Medicine Matters Oncology. Please subscribe for more and don't forget to visit oncology.medicinematters.com for more podcasts and news reports on COVID-19 and cancer and other topics. Until next time.